The Athletic.
The only way to score is, of course, to play with a hand break off.
Hello, I'm Ian Stone. This is Handbreak Off, the Arsenal podcast, brought to you by The Athletic. We'll be talking the emphatic win over Nottingham Forest at the Emirates yesterday, as well as mentioning a couple of notable milestones in terms of appearances, and looking forward to a big couple of weeks for the Arsenal. Our guests are two of the finest Arsenal pundits and writers, Amy Lawrence and Adrian Clark. Morning, guys.
Hello. Good morning.
Hi, Stoney.
Yeah, you're all right. You feeling good? Of course you are. Vibes FC. It is, of course, Halloween. My God, people dressing up at the weekend. It's a bit much, I'll be honest with you. Anyway, the point is...
What were you wearing, Ian?
I was a mankini and a cape. I thought it was a really good look.
Did you see Gunnosaurus? Gunnosaurus even got into the spirit.
I wasn't at the game yesterday, Adrian, as will become apparent. But did Gunnosaurus have some sort of Halloween costume?
Yeah, I think he was vampired up. Yeah, it was a good look.
Okay, vampired up. Okay. Well, as we said, it is Halloween, so we thought we'd do a sort of trick-or-treat opening question. Obviously, we did have a treat yesterday, but let's have the best trick-or-treat or the worst trick-or-treat we're experiencing at Arsenal at the moment. Amy, I'm going to start with you. Is it a trick or a treat?
Mine is the biggest trick that football has ever played on itself, which is a Winter World Cup. And one of the things about yesterday that was really bizarre, at the end of the game, everyone's all Vibes FC, happy. It's no secret that the atmosphere at the moment is as good as it's been since most of us can remember. And there were so many people chatting to each other and hugging. And someone turned around and said in the block where there's a whole bunch of season ticket holders that obviously get to know each other over the years. And it was like, oh, you know, everyone checks their season tickets, who's coming to the next game, whatever. Someone was like, oh, this is our last Premier League game till Boxing Day. And a mate turned around and went, Merry Christmas. Oh, Jesus. And then
shouldn't be saying that
someone
in October,
else was like, well, yeah. And someone else was like, oh, God, I can't make Boxing Day. Oh, see you next year. It's just getting even more surreal. And I have to say to some of the Twitterati who kind of mentioned this on Twitter yesterday, seemed to get perturbed by this in that age-old game of who's the better fan or the better season ticket holder. You know, well, there's a game again on Thursday against Zurich and there's a game next week against Brighton. But yeah, the reality of life is that not everybody can go to every game. And certainly where we sit, there's a lot of people increasingly who share season tickets, and that's a reflection of quite how, you know, how hard it is to get tickets these days. There was such a bum fight of people I know that were scrambling around trying to get into the game against Nottingham Forest. And the lucky ones who did had an absolutely stellar performance to savour. But I put my name down for an extra season ticket just recently to increase the sort of family total.
Where are you in the queue?
87,000 and something. So I thought it's it may not be in my lifetime, but funnily enough, it actually occurred to me that for the first time since moving to the Emirates, 60,000 might not be enough, which I don't think has been a thought that many people have had all that often since Arsenal moved from Highbury. I feel bad because Adrian has got a very good answer to a question coming and I'm just, as usual,
how do you banging know?
On. I know, but I do tend to bang on sometimes with these opening questions. But I was really touched leaving the ground yesterday by there was these two just adorably happy looking young people, both in the matching pink top. And the lady was standing there, well, I don't know if it was a boyfriend or brother or whoever she was with, was taking pictures of her. And then they swapped to take pictures of the other way around. And as I was walking past, I said, oh, do you want me to take a picture of the two of you? And they were, oh, yes, please. And I just had a quick chat with them and they were from Thailand and they'd been longing to watch a game at the Emirates, big Arsenal supporters. And it was the first game they'd ever got to see. And I think they're studying in the UK and it's taken them months to get any kind of ticket. And they were just blown away. And I think it's a reflection of what's happening, that young, old, whether you've been going forever or it's your first game, there's a togetherness going on and you can't force it. It's just magic.
It is. Anyway, forget all that. We've got Qatar against Ecuador to watch in a blizzard in a fan park. Who can't wait for that? You're absolutely right. It's a ridiculous trick. What have you got for us, Adrian?
Well, on that theme, just following up, it's a treat to be there, isn't it? At the moment, we're going on a trick-or-treat theme. It is a treat to get a ticket, to be able to work there, to sort of enjoy it, I've got to say, at the moment. So, yeah, long may that continue. And I hadn't thought about the ground. You're right. For the first time, maybe since we've been there, you're thinking, is the ground big enough? And that's quite a nice place to be. I thought you were going to ask me what the best trick is that I've seen at
what
Arsenal.
What is the best trick you've seen at Arsenal, Adrian?
Well, there have been a few. I was there for the scorpion from Olivier Giroud. That was unbelievable. The best, most consistent trick, in my opinion, that I've seen at Emirates in recent years was Mesut Ozil's bounce shot. I just thought it was... it was really clever. He kind of invented it just to sort of stab the ball into the ground so that it bounced over a keeper. I just thought it was a really original piece of sort of craft and guile from Mesut Ozil. So yeah, whether you sort of remember him fondly or not, and I'll remember him, you know, more for the good bits than the not so good. The bounce shot was a treat to behold.
Yeah. You're right about it is a treat to be there at the moment. And as I was travelling up to Manchester, I had to go from St Pancras yesterday, and I got a train at 1 o'clock, and I'm just surrounded by gooners going to the game. I've never been so depressed in my life. I thought, I can't, what am I doing? They're going to entertain these people. Anyway, thank goodness there was excellent Wi-Fi on the train so I could watch the game. That, by the way, is irony. The treat is just watching the continued development of this team, particularly, I have to say, the Haylen boys. We will talk about Reece Nelson on the pod, but just to see these young kids developing in front of a young fan base with young management and all the rest of it, it is a treat to be there. And I can only echo what Amy and Adrian said. 5-0. To the Arsenal. Yes, that sounds good, actually. I got a text from my son late last night. He said, I know it was only Forest, but it's good to batter someone, isn't it, really? And I have to agree. We've been putting in some performances, not in the last few weeks, but certainly before that. And it's nice to see, Amy, the way it went, where the first half, you know, it was okay. It was a bit stop-start. But we really picked it up in the second half. And I think that was one of the pleasing aspects of that performance yesterday.
Yeah, one of the people that I stand near who's kind of a bit glass half empty sometimes was, you know, you get an early goal in 4 minutes or whatever and start strongly, and it was like, well, this is what Arsenal always do, you know, come out firing out the blocks and scoring an early goal, and then it, you know, start to relax and let the opposition in a bit and make a couple of mistakes and, you know, got to go for the juggle. Don't take the chances for the second goal. And really, there were, what, three or four very presentable openings after Martinelli's first goal that could have made it comfortable before halftime. But, you know, I think there was that slight sensitivity based on a bit of a drop in performance in some of the recent games, Leeds, PSV, Southampton. So that was preying on some minds. So to be able to respond to that particular possibility of sort of dipping off and come out in the second half. And really, the thing that was interesting about the goals were they were quite different. There was quite a variety of goal type, which I think augurs extremely well, because you can't just be having, you know, a plan A and that's it. But the willingness of all the players to want to express themselves, but also be unselfish in, you know, in the spirit of teamwork was really evident. You know, I mean, Gabriel Jesus is desperate for a goal and could have possibly got three yesterday with different chances, but still has it in him to produce, you know, two extremely sharp and unselfish assists in the game. And there's something about the way the team is playing at the moment where you can see that they're enjoying playing as an ensemble, and that's creating the capacity to go and beat a bad team convincingly. You know, Arsenal could have won with a more narrow scoreline yesterday, but it probably is important psychologically that they went out and reminded themselves how good they are.
Yeah, quite. And like you say, goals from all over. Martinelli, great goal there. Nelson got two, Partey and Odegaard. Adrian, in terms of Gabriel Jesus, yeah, he didn't score again, but, you know, assists, obviously a fantastic performance, and he worked so hard for the team. Thierry Henry was talking about him in the week, I think, said he was never going to be a 25-goal-a-season man, I think is what he said, but he makes everyone else better. I mean, if you're in the dressing room and your striker's not scoring goals, but he's doing that, is there almost an added element where you want to support him and say, no, just keep doing what you're doing, you'll get chances in the end and it'll be fine, because what you're doing for the team is almost immeasurable.
Yeah, it is. And yeah, they'll all be behind him. I think the reason he stayed on was because they were desperate for him to get a goal. I mean, just a couple of stats to chuck in. He had 7 shots. He created 4 chances. 2 of them were assists. And he had 17 touches inside Nottingham Forest box. Now, put that into perspective, his average across the last 2 games was 4.5 touches inside the box a game. So this was so much better from him, so much better from Arsenal in terms of penetration. Yeah, no, I thought he was brilliant. I thought it was a really excellent performance. It's just the finish at the moment. He's sort of snatching at it. Maybe what you see when players are desperate for a goal is they try and whack the ball a little bit too hard. I don't think he needs to do that.
The one when he cut inside and he curled it and you thought, just caress it a little bit more. That's top
just
corner.
Pass
yeah.
It. Yeah. All the players that are in the groove, just pass it into the bottom corners. It's just what happens. He'll get back there, no doubt about it. Just very quickly on the fast starts, I've got a good stat, so I want to share it. The fast starts have been brilliant, haven't they? First 15, I thought, were fantastic. Right, bronze medal for the best goal difference in the first 30 minutes of matches this season is Brighton. Scored 8, conceded 4. Silver, first 30 minutes, City have scored 9. Conceded 3. The gold medal position is Arsenal's. We have scored 11 goals in the first 30 minutes of matches this season and conceded none.
Wow.
None. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Like, we are so good in that opening half an hour. And when you think back at the start of Arteta's reign, we took about an hour to get warmed up sometimes, didn't we? It was very slow and pedestrian at times, particularly during the time where we were not allowed inside stadiums. It was... Yeah, we sort of almost wasted that first half an hour. That is no longer the case.
No.
And
you want, I mean, you want teams to start fast, Amy. So why are they doing it now? And why is it working now? And why did it not work before? Because surely you just go at them from the first second. I mean, we are a very attacking team. There's no getting away from it. And it's part of the reason that the crowds are flocking back, and they are. But what has changed then? Why is it to do with Gabriel Jesus stretching them and a bit more width? What's happening?
I think it's collective sharpness, hunger and intensity. Like every single one of them, for whatever reason, may have been more difficult before, but goes out there believing that they're absolutely going to fly into the match. I don't know why. I guess Mikel Arteta's possibly the only person who can explain that properly. But the end effect is so critical, because you think about how many good footballing teams try and pass their way into a match. And the longer it goes on, the longer an opponent might settle. And it just does such a huge amount to set this kind of lightning tone. And I think whatever opposition plans are for a game, you're never hoping to be down against an attacking side in the first 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes, because whatever your plan was, that wasn't it, let's be honest. So I think it's been a hugely important step in Arsenal's ability to get their points total that they have so far this season and put themselves top of the league.
Yeah.
Massive.
Yeah, and long may that continue.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tony Jameson, the new host of the Football Manager Show, brought to you by The Athletic. Football Manager has quite frankly ruined my life, but I'd be completely lost without it. And if those words resonate with you, our podcast will be right up your street, with FM23's release inching closer and closer. Every week, myself and Aaron Falloon, aka RDF Tactics, take a deep dive into our most recent saves. We speak to the makers of the game about how to crack it and take on wacky community challenges suggested by our loyal listenership. So if that sounds like a bit of you, Make sure to subscribe to the Football Manager Show wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode.
In by Jesus! And there he is again! Reece Nelson at the double! And the Gunners running away with it!
Reece Nelson came on, Bukayo Saka got kicked again, and it is an ongoing theme. Adrian, we were on the pod a few weeks ago. We talked about this. He's not really getting the protection he should. I thought that was a pretty nasty tackle. And that wasn't the only one. Gibbs White on Xhaka. I mean, if we've all said it. If that is Granit Xhaka, that is a red card, I think. But Bukayo's not getting the protection. We'd like to say we have talked about that, but it did give Reece Nelson his chance. If you haven't read James's piece in The Athletic this morning, you should, because it's really lovely the way Reece talks about he thought he'd warm up and then he'd come and sit down and then the boss said, no, you're on, Reece. And you can feel the excitement in what he's talking about. And he looked like the player that we hope he becomes, Adrian.
Great management, I think, from Mikel Arteta, because it was the shock substitution, wasn't it? We all thought, oh, it would be Vieira or it might be Marquinhos.
Yeah. But he's backed him, hasn't he? Yeah, he's backed him.
Yeah, but I love the fact that he didn't really give him a heads up on it either. He's just shocked him into it. He's probably benefited from not really being part of the poor performance against PSV, because no one stood up and said they deserved a place after that game. So it's like, well, let's give Reece a go. Let's see what he's about. And yeah, I mean, it was so nice to see him take advantage, wasn't it? I thought the confidence that he dispatched that rebound with was great, because
the
there were two people on.
That he dropped his shoulder beforehand. He left two players on the floor and he made it look so easy.
Well, he's got that, hasn't he? I mean, he's the kid that everyone was telling me about years ago at the academy. Who's, you know, when I always, if I speak to someone at the academy, I always say, who's the next one coming through? Who should we look out for? All I kept hearing was Reece Nelson. And, you know, he's done well. He's had a lot of first team appearances, but he's just been outshone, I guess, by Saka, Smith Rowe and Ketia, etc. So, yeah, for him to get his afternoon in the sun was great, and it feels like a crossroads moment, because if he'd have come on and had that, what was it, 60 odd minutes and done nothing, how long might he have had to have waited for the next chance? Now, on the back of two goals and assist, really positive performance, he's in the frame. He's the de facto third choice wide man for the next game, isn't he? He might be second choice or first choice, because we don't know what's going to happen with Saka. So it was a really big day for him, and I'm chuffed, because he's a good player to watch, isn't he? When he travels with the ball at his feet with confidence, he's exciting. I like him.
Yeah, no, I get... I mean, I'll say I wasn't at the game yesterday, Amy, but I'm assuming that the crowd... I remember when Theo Walcott first signed and the excitement that Theo, every time he got the ball, and people willing him to do well. And I sort of get the same feeling with Reece Nelson, that people so want him to do well. So I'm assuming the crowd were right behind him when he came on. And reading that article, it seems like he won't sleep for a couple of days after that.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was an excitement for him to come on and a goodwill for him. But I wouldn't say it was overblown, in the sense that he is a player who has had chances before and hasn't quite managed to grasp them in that way that Adrian quite rightly compares to the likes of Saka, Smith Rowe and so on. But I think what can be fascinating in the life of particularly a young player is sliding doors moments. You know, whether you go on loan, whether it does well for you, whether you come back, like all sorts of things. And for whatever reason, Mikel Arteta has always spoken about Reece with quite a lot of conviction, probably more conviction than what he's actually shown on the pitch necessarily. But there's something there that Mikel seems to, you know, it seems to have struck him. And in a similar way that, you know, for a long time when Eddie Nketiah was coming towards those last few months of his contract, he hadn't really necessarily done enough for people to think, oh my God, he must stay. It'd be terrible if he goes. And then Arteta kept saying, Eddie deserves to play the way he is in training. You know, it's almost like a mantra. He obviously, what he sees at London Coney, we are not privy to, tells him a lot. And I thought it was really notable that Mikel talked about Reece maturing and talked about his attitude and his hunger, yes, and his desperation to play. and, you know, really complimented that side of his game about how much he was trying to get himself involved. You know, I think a lot of people thought he might have gone in the summer. He got injured just before the transfer window closed. He picked up an injury, so he wasn't really available for a transfer. Had that happened, this doesn't happen. But, you know, he ended up sticking around, knuckling down, trying to show he's learned some things on his loans, believing that he can make an impact on this team, being patient enough to wait his turn in a good manner without kicking up a fuss, but also determined enough to keep waving metaphorically at Mikel, hey, I'm here, look at me.
Yeah, yeah.
And the reward, you know, was outstanding in the game yesterday. But there is that little flicker of a moment where you think, is this his Jermaine Pennant moment? You know, is this like a kid who also had a lot of expectancy around him, in and out kind of in terms of producing the real deal that makes you think you've got a genuine class Arsenal player on your hands, and then scores that hat trick in one of the first games of the 49 game unbeaten run. Everyone thinks, right, here we go. And for Reece, it's kicking on now, right now. He's had this golden ticket, if you like, with this unexpected, glorious game yesterday. It's very likely he'll play, I would have thought, against Zurich and Brighton. So that's two more home games, you know, before the break. At least, you know, it's possible that he'll figure in the other matches. And if he does grasp those moments and seize that day, a bit like Eddie, suddenly kind of playing himself towards the end of last season into, he stays.
Yeah.
Arteta wants him. Arteta sees the value. Then, you know, a winger was on the agenda in the summer, a new winger. And it's premature to say, okay, after one beautiful cameo against Nottingham Forest, Reece Nelson's the guy, forget it. But he can certainly put himself in the frame.
Yeah, and saves us all that money, Adrian. Then we spend the whole 50 million quid on a central midfield player, right? And
which we could do with. Yeah, because Thomas Partey was so dominant in this game. I mean, Nottingham Forest gave him the freedom of the park.
Well, the space. But that pass to Granit, I mean, it was such a beautiful pass. And I love the way that Jesus ran inside and opened up the space. And Granit Xhaka has been making those runs all season. And obviously, apart from it, I imagine he didn't even have to look where he was. He knew.
Yeah, he's very good at those passes, isn't he? The execution of those forward passes is outstanding from Thomas. So, yeah, Forrest, obviously, their three midfielders were very deep. Steve Cooper would have wanted Lingard and Morgan Gibbs-White to sort of hound Partey, but they did the opposite of that. They didn't get within 5 yards of him. So, yeah, Partey ran the game. When you see him play like that and dominate and score a great goal again, you think, oh, what about the backup? And obviously, Sambi missed his opportunity against PSV. He had a really bad night. And I think, yeah, all eyes are on who are we going to get to sort of back up Thomas Partey, because we do need one, for sure.
We certainly do. One more question. Kieran Tierney, I would have thought there were some people, including me, who were slightly surprised he didn't get picked for this game. He essentially chose a right back to go in that position, although Tommy appears to be able to play pretty much anywhere across the defence, and what a player he is. Amy, is this evidence of something more going on with Kieran Tierney, or is he just a bit down the pecking order at the moment? Because there was a time when everyone's talking about him as future Arsenal captain, and the fans obviously love the attitude. But does Mikel Arteta not quite fancy him as much as the rest of us do, perhaps?
I don't know what's going on. No. I can only speculate like everyone else, but the only thing you can say is that it's pretty easy to imagine Kieran is finding it difficult at the moment to take the change in his situation. I can't imagine that that's something that he's phlegmatic about. It's good for the club that Arsenal have got these options now, because it was the dearth of these options that was so costly in seasons past. And it's the challenge for any manager of a top team to keep people happy who are playing less often than they want to. Just with Kieran, it seems a particularly tricky situation, because you'd have imagined with Zinchenko out for as long as he has been, that would give Kieran an opportunity to play frequently. So I think everyone can understand the logic of it in specific games where you're up against a particular kind of winger, and having someone with the height of Tomiyasu makes loads of sense. He has different qualities. But let's watch and see how this one plays out, I'd say.
Yeah, good. And as if it wasn't a big enough sort of kick in the teeth for him that he didn't play, and obviously Tomiyasu kept his place at left back. When they made the change, Cedric came on at left back, didn't he? So I just thought that was a real sort of punch in the stomach. And then obviously Tini did come on and Cedric moved to right back when Arteta made a very sensible substitution with taking off William Saliba, who's on 4 yellow cards, needed to protect him ahead of that Chelsea game. So, that was a smart move from Arteta. But yeah, like in effect, Tini might be sat there, you know, today thinking, I'm a fourth choice left back all of a sudden. I don't think he is, but you could be excused for thinking it because that's where he was in the pecking order in the game.
Yeah, but I mean, I think as we saw yesterday with Reece Nelson, you know what? You will get your chance in this football club because we've got a lot of football games to play. We'll talk about them after a little break. This is Handbreak Off, the Arsenal podcast brought to you by The Athletic.
We were a bit with the handbrake at time.
Ian Stone, Amy Lawrence and Adrian Clark on Handbrake Off from The Athletic. Couple of notable milestones that I just want to briefly mention. Granit Xhaka made his 200th league appearance for Arsenal on Sunday. Never thought we'd see that, Amy, but here we are. We're singing his name. He looks, I mean, I must say, even that PSV game on Thursday, first 30 minutes, I really enjoyed watching him. He seems to have an economy of movement around the pitch. I love his forward running now. He's one of the most important players in the team, isn't he?
Yeah, I really enjoyed James McNicholas's tweet yesterday.
About how good looking he is.
Yeah, I thought this is really how far this whole thing has shifted. It's kind of like,
he is a good looking man.
Can we now
There's
acknowledge
no doubt.
He is such a handsome man? I thought, okay, James, good one.
I like the fact that James was holding on to that for quite some time. Yeah, I know he walked off and threw the armband down, but look at him. Just look at him. So it's nice that James can finally, metrosexually admit how much he loves Granit Xhaka's looks. And he is a good-looking fella. But more than that, Amy, he's just playing exactly how we want him to play. And he's the player that Arsene Wenger saw when he bought him.
What I'd like to know is, assuming he's playing exactly how he wants to play, which by extension makes you wonder how he really felt for all those years when he was playing maybe not his absolute best position and one that exposed him and kind of partly created some of the scenarios that he became synonymous with. But he's having a golden, and I was going to say golden hour, but it's a golden season or golden few months, and I think it's hard not to warm your heart a little bit because he just looks elated all the time. He looks so liberated. He looks like he's just going out to play and he knows exactly how it's going to go for him, and he's not overthinking or having to overthink anything. It's just go out and do your stuff. And I think for a footballer to have that is a real luxury. And you look around that kind of front five that he's now a part of, and there's a lot of youth around him, and even Gabriel Jesus is the next oldest at 25. You know, Granit's 30. He's probably been through enough for about three careers. He probably in football terms, he's about 55, if you know what I mean. And it must be an extraordinary pleasure for him to be playing this kind of football in this kind of team, taking the kind of responsibility he's happy to take. And people are happy for him to take it. And it's going swimmingly for him. So, yeah, enjoy.
Excellent.
Well done, Granit.
Nice work, Granit. Adrian, what about Aaron Ramsdale, 50th appearance for the club? He looked so happy at the end when the last shot went in from the Nottingham Forest player, and he caught it, and there was a full-time whistle, and he was like, clean sheet. And I'm really pleased for him. That connection that he has with the fans, and we knew that from the first moment, the way he was talking to the fans and winding up the opposition as well. If you want to see a video of him laughing at the Leeds fans and them giving him stick back, that's a very pleasurable minute for any gooner. We know he's got a rick in him. We saw it on Thursday, but he's such an infectious character, Adrian. To have a goalkeeper like that, it's a big plus for us.
I think it is, yeah. The goalies are always they're often sort of real big personalities. He's a bit crazy, isn't he? But I love the fact that he just is himself. And I think that the fans respond well to that, especially because it does feel like the Emirates Stadium in particular is filled with younger people this season than compared to seasons past. I think a lot of the older people maybe gave up their season tickets and the next in line have come in and re-energised the stadium.
Well,
the
older people, you know?
Exactly. And I think the fans inside the ground can relate to Aaron Ramsdale. They can see he wants to have fun. They can see that he's sort of cheering the team on from his position, you know, inside the box.
He feels like a fan, Adrian. That's the point. Yeah. He feels like one of us in a way that maybe some of the others are not. You know, Granit Xhaka is very much a player, if you know what I mean. But Aaron is a fan.
Yeah, I think goalkeepers always have a very special relationship with the supporters because they're stood next to them for so long, especially, you know, over the course of a season. They're stood pretty close to the fans, aren't they? So I think it's great to have that solid rapport. I think he's having a pretty good season. I think he's not as outstanding as he was this time last year, I don't think. And maybe his distribution isn't as eye-catching as it was this time last year either. But he's a big asset to the team. And, yeah, I think he's a great person. Great person to have in the team.
50 games for Aaron Ramsdale. 4 games to go before this ridiculous break when we all head off to the Middle East for a World Cup that nobody really seems that excited about. I guess we'll get into it after we finish the last game against Wolves. Amy, we've got 4 games left. We've got the 2 league games, Chelsea and Wolves away, and we've got Zurich at home, which is a big game, but we'd hope that we'd beat them and secure top spot for the group. And then Brighton in the Carabao Cup. We've just got to keep running through Wolves, haven't we, for another 4 games. And that's, I mean, I said this on the pod the other day, that's what Mikel Arteta will be saying to them.
Yep, and I think probably there's a bit more confidence that it's achievable after the Nottingham Forest result. So, you look at the games ahead and Chelsea obviously looks like potentially the trickiest. But the way Arsenal are playing, they obviously had a pretty humbling weekend as well, Chelsea. I think it's just about push. Get what you need to top the group against Zurich. Try and get as many points as possible out of Stamford Bridge. The Brighton game would just be a nice one to continue in another competition, but I don't think Mikel will shed too many tears if that one goes by the wayside. And then Wolves away, end on a high, and with luck and a fair wind, try and aim to finish this half season in top spot. Yeah. But I mean, the points total for this phase of the season is exceptional. Who knows how long it's going to last and how practical it is to think that it's going to keep going and going. It's going to be a tough job, I think, to get everyone straight back into rhythm.
Yeah, so, yeah. And on the same page, Adrian, right?
Yeah, because everyone's going to have such different experiences and form and mindsets, aren't they, when we reconvene. I think there are plans to keep the players busy. I think they're going to head out to Dubai, I think, and there'll be a training camp. There'll be some good friendlies lined up because obviously all of the clubs are in the same boat. So I think we'll see quite a lot of friendly games. I've heard whispers. I won't sort of announce it here, but I've heard whispers of one particularly exciting friendly that we might see at Emirates Stadium in December before we play West Ham.
Really?
I think that there are plans afoot for
but
a game.
But we can't say who that is at the moment.
Oh, you carrot dangler, Adrian.
How can you do that, Adrian? Who are we talking about?
I don't want to get into trouble, but I think...
Give us a clue.
What's this space? What's the first letter, Adrian?
Can we play 20 questions?
Yeah.
No, I'm leaving it there. I'm going to leave that carrot dangling. But there could be a nice, juicy, friendly lined up. I think that's the plan. But whether it comes off, I don't know, because nothing's been signed. There you go.
I mean, there's thousands of people going, who is it, Adrian? Come on. But no, apparently you're not allowed because nothing has been signed at the moment.
Well, it's going to be another, whatever it is, it sounds like another one everyone's going to be scrambling, fighting each other for tickets for.
Yes, because as you said, everyone wants to be down there. I mean, I'm going to the Zurich game on Thursday. One more thing, actually, about the Zurich game. I mean, we do need to get a result. We do. We have to match PSV's result. Now, PSV are going to Bodo Glimt, and that is not going to be an easy game for them. We know that on that pitch. And I don't think, in fact, that we got enough credit for our performance over there. And it wasn't great, but we got a result. And very few teams do that. He does have to mix things up a little bit, does he not, Amy? I think there's a couple of people are... Saka will probably be rested just to help him get over the injury. We're going to play quite a few reserves, but we should have enough to beat Zurich at home. And if we don't, we don't really deserve to be in the Champions League, do we?
Well, it's about being in the next round of the Europa League. Sorry to reel you back in ever so slightly, but
yes, you know my excitement. But you understand the point I'm making. We obviously don't want two more games against one of the teams that drop in from the Champions League.
If you said that to Mikel, he would give you one of those looks where you'd be a little bit scared and you'd probably run out the room. He does not want to be second in this group, and he hasn't wanted to from before anybody kicked a ball. So he will be mighty cross, I think, if the players don't deliver. Having qualified with two games to go and having topped the group pretty much from the get-go, and with a home game against the weakest team in the group to finish off, I think whoever he picks, and he's picked pretty strongly for the majority of these games, to be honest, such as his determination to make sure Arsenal top the group, I think it will still be a fairly strong team. It'll be a mixture, but I don't think they'll be suddenly throwing in a couple of unknown kids at all. I think it'll still be all a very recognisable team to do the job.
Yeah, well, looking forward to it. Go on, Adrian, you got anything else to say before we go?
Yeah, we just got to be professional. I think fast start, get ourselves that cushion, and then we can take off the players that we will really need at Stamford Bridge at the weekend. So I'm confident. I mean, Zurich aren't very good, and yeah, we've been terrific on home turf, haven't we? So yeah, I fully expect us to win and win with something to spare.
All right, lovely. Me too, by the way, me too. And then we can think about what possible team Adrian could we talk about for that, friendly. I'm now going through my head, is it like some sort of World 11 with Mbappe playing or something? Anyway, you'll let us know as soon as you can, I guess. Let's have a song to end. Amy, what have you got for us?
Well, just before I give you my selected song, I was having a little look around some old music, and I stumbled across something, a song especially for you, Ian.
Oh, yeah?
And it's a song by Amon Tobin, an old Ninja Tune track called Stony Street.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, I could pick it, I suppose. It hasn't got particular relevance to Arsenal at the moment, so I'm just giving it to you to go away and have a listen to, and let me know what you think.
I will. Stony Street. I'm going to check
Street
that out.
Stony Street by Amon Tobin on Ninja Tunes. I was on a bit of a trip hop vibe, and I'm going to go for a Jungle Brothers song called Doing Our Own Thing, because that's what Arsenal are doing at the moment.
Doing their own thing. Adrian, what have you got for us?
I'm going to surprise you today. I'm going to surprise you with an artist that you wouldn't associate with my normal choices, because on the Breakdown Live, we had one of the greatest gear changes in broadcasting history yesterday. There was me talking about football, and then in comes Mercury award winning Little Sims, best album of the year. In she comes, looks like an absolute superstar. She's a massive gooner. She's from Highbury. Her nephew, I think she said, is in the academy. And we just talked Arsenal with Little Sims for 5 or 6 minutes, which was great. Then she disappeared, and in came Tony Woodcock, which other shows out there would ever have Little Sims and Tony Woodcock?
That's
much
a hell of a left turn.
I know. But it was enjoyable and I loved it. And Tony was great, great value as well, with his big hair. And he was all in on Arsenal, even though he won the European Cup with Nottingham Forest. He was absolutely a gooner for the day. So yeah, it was a real treat. So yeah, I'm going to pick a Little Sims song from her award-winning album. The lead track is Introvert, and I've listened to it and I enjoyed it. So there you go.
Yeah, Little Sims to Tony Woodcock. That, do you know what? That's a fair point, actually. Obviously I am incredibly optimistic when it comes to Arsenal, and I. Well, you know I am. It's not.
You preface every single song choice with that line, Stoney. Come on.
Well, I feel like I have to, really, because it's so ridiculous. But I genuinely look at what we've got and think, wow, what is the limit for this team? So what I've gone for is Ain't No Mountain High Enough. They're in a hurry. You don't have to worry. Oh, baby, there ain't no mountain high enough.
I thought you were going to go for There's No Limit. No,
no,
there's no limit, no, no. And I was about to kick you in the proverbials through the miracle.
And I knew you would if I had. But I love Ain't No Mountain High Enough. Tammy Terrell and Marvin Gaye, of course. And I genuinely think, my God, what this team can achieve if it all comes together. And we sincerely hope it does.
Dear listener, somebody out there who's really good at all this techie stuff, please make Ian a playlist of like the world's most optimistic songs, because you know he needs this week on week on week on week.
I
know?
Do.
He's running
I
out.
I absolutely do. So no, I'm not. I'm not. There's plenty more optimistic songs that I can choose from. anyway, there you go.
Now, what you need is some pessimistic songs just to bring you down a little bit.
Oh, I listen to Radiohead all day, every day. So don't worry about that. I get plenty of darkness and depression. But no, I don't bring it to this podcast because right now things are good. That's it for Handbrake Off. Thank you to Amy Lawrence. Thanks to Adrian Clark. And thanks to Guy, our producer. And thank you, listener, for listening. Enjoy the week. I'm Ian Stone. This has been Handbrake Off, the Arsenal podcast, brought to you by The Athletic.